Morning. Holy Week fights, rounds 5 and 6. Previous 3 weeks, we've heard Jesus debating in the temple, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of Holy Week, after Palm Sunday, debating with the chief priests and the elders, the scribes, the Herodians, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, all the various parties, as was commonly done in the temple area. This is where everybody came together, where views were exchanged. There were many ways of being Jewish in those days, and many claimants to the leadership of Israel. Part of gathering all this together is to establish Jesus' claim to the leadership, that he could and did best them all in debate, and establish his own right to be considered the leader of the Jewish people. And, of course, it sets the perfect stage for the rest of Holy Week. You don't show up the chief priests and the Sadducees in their own temple and expect them not to do something about it. So we read the first three, the last 3 weeks. Then we skipped one. We skipped the long story about Jesus and the Sadducees and the resurrection, which we read in a different cycle. And now we have the one about which is the greatest commandment. And then as a coda, a closer, Jesus' counterattack, where he begins to question them about who do you say the son of whose son is the Messiah. This question, which is the greatest commandment of the law, is not entirely academic. It has some practical value. The codification of the law by the later rabbis, probably well underway by this time, although we don't have it in writing from this period, lists a total of 613 commandments that can be derived from Scripture, handed down to God, from God to Moses at Sinai. Now, you can't keep 613 things in your head all the time. What gets some priority? What really demands your attention? We've done the same thing. Those of you who are of my generation, you remember learning the catechism when you were kids? And every chapter in the moral section had, what does the third commandment forbid? What does the fourth commandment forbid? What does the fifth commandment forbid? And there's a long list for every one. If you counted them all up, it probably wasn't far short of 613. You can't keep your eye on all of that all the time. What's important? It was an honest question, debated among the various factions. Jesus' answer is very, very traditional. He quotes two passages of Scripture. The first, Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. This is part of the Shema. This is the prayer that every Jew over the age of Bar Mitzvah said every day. This is part of the text that you wrote down and put in the phylactery that you wrapped around your arm when you prayed. This is part of the text that you put in the mezuzah that you kissed every time you entered and left your home. This is not some esoteric commandment out of the back corners of the tradition. This is bedrock, solid center to what it means to be a Jew. And then he adds the second commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Also from the Torah, this time the book of Leviticus. And again, one that is very traditional. Just a generation and a half, two generations before, the big fight between Hillel and Shammai. Shammai was a more rigorous rabbi, straight down the line. Hillel was more willing to stretch things and seek accommodations. They tell a story that this Gentile came to Shammai and said, I will become a Jew if you teach me all I need to know about the Torah while I stand on one foot. Shammai picked up his cane and chased him away. So he went to Hillel and asked the same question. I will become a Jew if you will teach me everything I need to know about the Torah while I stand on one foot. Hillel said, okay. So the guy stood on one foot, and Hillel said, what you don't like yourself, don't do to anybody else. This is the essence of the Torah. The rest is commentary. Go and learn it. The guy became a Jew. So, love your neighbor as yourself is also pretty solid to the center, the core of Jewish practice, Jewish teaching. Jesus establishes himself not only as an Orthodox Jew, but a very Orthodox Jew. And yet it's not just tradition. It also reflects something radically new, namely his own experience of God. Jesus' experience of God is at the root of the commandments he picks and what he teaches. Jesus, as the only begotten Son of God, not only Son, as we say in the Creed, that's a mistranslation. It's faithful neither to the Greek nor the Latin. Only begotten Son. That's doctrinally important. Jesus is the only begotten Son, but you and I are the daughters and sons of God. That's what the incarnation is about. That's what the cross is about. That's what the resurrection is about. That you and I are the daughters and sons of God. But as the only begotten Son of God, Jesus constantly experiences God as his Abba, as this Father that is standing him up on his feet and calling him towards him all the time. This constant love, this constant support, this constant challenge to grow. This is who God is for Jesus. This absolute enveloping love. Therefore, experience that. Grow up to be like the old man. Experience the depth and the breadth of God's love. Then love God back the same way. Then love each other the way God has loved you and the way you know that God loves them. This is not because it's among the list of those things which are against or not against the whichevereth commandment, or that these are the ones that get underlined on the list of the 613 commandments. It's because this is who God is. This is because of the God is that we experience. Experience this God and then live this God. Experience God's love, God's forgiveness, God's strength, God's challenge, God's consolation in your own life. And then love God the way God loves you. Love each other the way that God loves you. This is not only traditional Judaism, traditional Catholicism. This is the rock-solid center of who Jesus really is. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.